UWA 517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I hope you're all doing well. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our first stop tonight is with Stephanie in the state of Ohio, sharing a few of her encounters that she has had throughout her life. Then we drop in on Lincoln in South Yorkshire to hear about an unexplained event that occurred back in the 1990s. Stephanie is up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hello, Stephanie, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Ohio.
Yes, I am.
Good stuff. Now, Stephanie, you have some encounters to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Absolutely. So I've had quite a few experiences all throughout my life, and I will just start chronologically. My first encounter comes around 1994, 1995. I was probably 3.5 to 4. And I was playing in the dirt beneath my swing set, just digging a hole. And all of a sudden, my arm hair started to stand on end, and I had that prickly feeling as if I was being watched. And I turned, and I looked up at the sky, and there was a large brown cigar-shaped object hovering overhead. And in my child's brain, I thought, wow, that is a dragonfly without any wings. And it really scared me. And I ran into the house without looking back. And I never told anyone. I never even told my mom. It was like something I knew I should keep private. And then also as a kid, I would wake up to bright flashing lights in my window and they'd make the whole room glow. And there was no sound. I also wasn't afraid. I'd just think, they're here, and immediately fall back asleep. We were in a really rural area, so it's unlikely that there were vehicles or people. And I never really thought about who they were. I just accepted that something had arrived. And I also never told anybody about this until this past year. My younger sister, whose room was right next to mine, she casually mentioned with like no prompting at all. She was like, yeah, I used to wake up in the middle of the night with like flashing lights in my window. And she wasn't sure about why she'd never talked about it either. Hearing that kind of caused things to spiral out of control for me, because that meant that all of that was real. It wasn't some dream. It wasn't some misremembered lightning storm or something like that. Both of us had witnessed this. Around the same time period, I had these really strange dreams where someone, I couldn't see their face and I didn't know who they were. It was just like this I just knew there was like a form guiding me. They'd come and they'd get me out of bed, and I would transform into this giant owl, and I would go flying over the treetops, and I would just, you know, we lived in front of a wood, and so I would go flying over the woods, and I would always, my goal was to make it to this big giant golden moon. I would always fly straight towards that moon, and then I'd wake up. And now I'm hearing that owls are often like an archetype for aliens. A lot of people who see owls later have experiences. So I thought was kind of interesting. And I never really put it together until recently that maybe the dreams and the lights in the window that were happening around the same time were related. And then in 2000, my dad was looking out the back window and he was just staring at the tree line and he had his binoculars. And I said, you know, what are you looking at? And he gestured out at the horizon. And it was like there was a Ferris wheel in the sky. It was a ring of lights that were partially obscured by the trees. It looked like a Ferris wheel, but it wasn't moving. It wasn't rotating. And my dad suggested, oh, they're airplanes. But we both knew they were not airplanes. We're not near any airports. And even if we were, I don't think that these would look like that. And so recently I was like, hey, Dad, remember when we saw that light? And he said, don't talk about that, which really kind of freaked me out. And my most recent experience, which is the most significant to me, it was July 2021. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I had this intense urge to go outside. And this is not something that normally happens to me. I usually sleep through the night. And if I do wake up, I don't think, oh, I got to go outside. But I listened and I set up a stool in the middle of the yard and I stared up at the stars. And I knew something was going to happen. I had this strange sense of anticipation. I could just feel like something was happening. Soon enough, I saw a red-orange pulsating light just travel across the sky. And it was right where I was looking. It kind of crackled with this energy. It didn't flash like a plane. There was no tail like a meteor or a comet or whatever. It just was this orb. And after a while, it blinked out. I was just astounded. I knew I'd just seen something really amazing. And the more I thought about it, I began to doubt myself. What if it was just something astronomical? What if it was a shooting star? I hadn't seen a shooting star in a really long time. So I was like, maybe I just don't know what a shooting star looks like anymore. But as soon as I thought that, a bright white shooting star arced across the sky in the same area that the UFO had traveled. That really made me pause. I immediately felt like I had interacted with something, you know? I had made this experience happen, or that something was communicating with me, like something was saying, oh, you want a shooting star? Here's your star. Here's what they look like. I felt really good after this encounter. Like, I felt really at peace. I felt like something had acknowledged me, and there's almost a playful energy there. And I just went back upstairs and I went to bed. It's just, I don't know. It just, it seemed almost, I want to say, beautiful to me.
And you said you had the urge to go outside.
Yes. I woke up and I thought I just had the thought I need to go out. And I went straight outside in my pajamas and barefoot and I sat in the middle of the yard.
There was no voices or anything like that. It was just a pure urge.
Yep. It was just my own brain saying, you got to go out.
Then you witnessed this light.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, that's something, you know, we do get occasionally where people do have these urges. I was only talking about this with someone earlier. It's a common thing. And your sister's mentioned these lights before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister and I are really close. And people always think we're twins. We're not. We have like 3.5 years between us. And the fact that she saw them too, she was even younger than me. So when I was seeing them at 6, she was 3. And the fact that she remembers that is really significant to me. And the fact that she brought it up first, you know, with no prompting, was interesting to me, because that kind of, you know, it wasn't like I said, oh, I saw this. And she's like, yeah, me too. It was, she brought it up. Hey, I used to wake up and there were these lights. And I just thought that was an interesting coincidence there.
And did she mention anything else or anything else that's happened maybe recently?
My sister?
Yeah.
Not really. One time when we were driving home from, we were like picking up a pizza and we were driving home, me and her, and we saw these red lights in the sky in kind of a triangular pattern. But for some reason, I've always thought in my head that was not an encounter. Like, I just kind of felt, I don't know why. I just had this sense like, oh, that's not significant. But she and I, we parked the car, we got out, stood in the middle of the road. And my dad used to do these lanterns where you'd light a candle and it would float up in the air like a paper lantern. And so I ran in, I was like, did you just do a bunch of lanterns? And he was like, no. So I don't know what it was, but I don't know if I was just more skeptical at that time in my life. I've really come more to accept the phenomena now at an older age, I guess, now that I've had the July 2021 experience really changed things for me. So I guess that experience, I just was like, whatever. I don't know why. It just didn't stick out in my head that way.
So before the July 2021, you didn't really have so much of an interest or even really an opinion.
I had watched X-Files in the 90s and I was, yeah, aliens are cool. And I kind of collected like some paraphernalia and stuff like that. But I never thought that I personally had been like abducted or had a special tie to anything like this. I had like a passing interest, and like in the way that you're interested in all things paranormal. Like I liked ghosts, I liked witches, I liked, you know what I mean? I liked anything strange, but it wasn't UFOs and aliens were my biggest, you know, interest. Whereas now I think out of any supernatural or paranormal thing, I'm definitely really invested in the whole UFO and alien thing.
And when did it occur to you that there was other things in your past that had happened?
Say around 2020, 2021, I started thinking like, you know what, all those things that happened to me are significant and maybe they're all connected. COVID really was a time of introspection for me. And I, you know, I was worried my family was going to die and stuff like that. So I started really just analyzing my whole life. And then I had that experience in 2021 with the orange light, and that I just felt, I felt really special after that. I felt chosen. And I know that's, maybe that's a little, I don't want to say cocky, just, I just felt something had happened to me. It was very affirming and vindicating. I felt if that was possible, what else was possible?
Yeah, a lot of people did have a lot of reflection about mm-hmm. in their own lives. And okay. Any strange dreams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have the owl dreams. Those were reoccurring. And that was mostly when I was a child. Around the other experiences, I did not have... I guess I did have one dream, now that I'm remembering it, where, so I went to bed, and I'm very much a believer in like lucid dreaming and the idea that you can like influence what you dream about. So before I went to bed, I said, I want an answer to the whole UFO question. I just want to know. I'm just curious. I just want to know. I want to learn something tonight about aliens. I'm really corny. Why not try? So I went to bed with this thought in my head. And this might just be my own psyche being, yeah, here, yeah. In my dream, I was aboard a ship and a very classic, like, gray alien was there. And they didn't say anything, but in my head, they said, you already know everything you need to know. And he shoved me. And then I woke up.
You already know what you need to know.
Yes.
So that could be a little or a lot.
Right, yeah. It reminds me of when people say, the president has a need to, the alien question is a need to know basis. Does he need to know? And a lot of people say the president doesn't even need to know. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this level of classification, a need to know. I really thought that was kind of like a governmental term, you know? So the fact that it was in my dream was strange.
And within these dreams, you would transform into an owl
mm-hmm.
and then go off. Now, would you be alone?
Yeah. Well, so in the beginning of the dream, there would be this figure. And I never looked at their face. I don't know why. I have the impression that if I did look at their face, there'd be nothing there. But it was almost a motherly figure. I felt very safe. I felt very guided. And they would get me out of bed and usher me out into the living room, out down the hall, outside. And I would transform into this giant owl and I'd fly. And I don't remember anyone flying with me. I don't remember seeing anyone while I was flying.
Okay. And then you would fly to this golden moon.
Yeah, it was a supernaturally large moon, and it was like, I want to say like a harvest moon. That's the term that comes to mind. It was just this perfectly full golden moon, and I've always wondered if maybe that was standing in for something else. You know, just as I was an owl, maybe the moon is something else too.
Yeah, possibly. How many times would you have said you'd had this dream or dream similar to change into an owl? And then head into this harvest moon.
It was very regular. I almost came to expect it. And it wasn't a scary dream, so I really welcomed it. I know I had it at least 5 times, maybe more. And it seems like it would happen on the weekends. I would go to bed and my dad's friends were there. And it was just like a very busy happening time. So I want to say it was like on the weekends. I want to say multiple times, fairly regularly, and it, I want to say it was concentrated around the summer, because whenever I would have these dreams, the trees would have leaves and it was warm and all this stuff. But it doesn't really coincide with like the harvest aspect of the moon, so I'm not totally sure there.
And would the dream always follow the same linear path?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was the same dream every time.
Was there anything that you can recall that was anything different? Maybe a different direction, different location?
Like from dream to dream?
From dream to dream, yeah. Anything that was maybe different? Maybe you followed a different path?
Not really. No, it would be the exact same every time. I remember maybe one time where I stood on the couch first and looked at the picture above the couch. And it was a picture. It's actually above my bed now. It's of cherry blossoms. And I don't know why I did that. Maybe because I wasn't allowed to go on the couch, like stand on the couch in my waking hours. So I was like, I'm going to stand on the couch now. So I do remember doing that and like kind of jumping on the couch and just like generally being bad and then going out the door.
Within the dream, sometimes in our dreams, we dream about places that they don't seem to exist. Were you dreaming specifically about the location where you live, the area?
Oh, absolutely. I remember, so there's this very large tree in the field behind my dad's house. It's a very old oak tree. And I would fly over that tree, and I remember like being able to see it from above and the branches lining up with how they would look from the ground. And I could feel the distance between myself and the tree. Like it was in absolutely like 3D. It wasn't like a flat plane or anything like that. And it felt very real. And the field, the topography of that really matched real life. I mean, it was as real as could be, I guess.
And you live in a different area now?
I do, yeah. So I grew up in a very rural area with a lot of fields, a lot of forests, stuff like that. And now I live in a suburb. And there's a field behind me, but I live in a little community now. So
that was the family home.
Yep.
When you would have these dreams, how would you feel about them, and how would you feel the next day?
I really liked them. I felt very comforted by them. I really liked the figure that would come get me. Like I said, there was a motherly vibe there. I felt safe and warm. And when I'd fly, it was amazing. It was super fun. And I would think, like, finally, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to be, is this flying owl. And I felt very free. Even though I was always going towards the same end goal there, which was the moon, I felt like I had a lot of choice and I had a lot of freedom in these moments. And then the next day I would just kind of be like, yeah, I had that dream again. That's cool. And I would just go on with my life.
You know, sometimes when I dream, I'd put my head on the pillow and pretty much straight into a dream it would feel. And then the next day I wouldn't feel refreshed. I'd feel tired. Like I'd been at it all night.
No, I don't think I felt tired. It was kind of like a curious, like, oh, yeah, that happened. And I would feel fine. And even when I had like the lights blinking in the window and I'd wake up and be like, oh, yeah, they're here, I would not feel tired the next day, which I don't know if that, you know, proof that something didn't happen or proof that something did happen, you know, like I was restored in some way or something like that. But yeah, I don't ever remember feeling tired. But also I was a kid and I don't ever remember feeling tired as a kid ever.
No, you're absolutely right there. I don't either. It seemed that we had some of the best batteries.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like constantly on the go. This figure would guide you out the house. It wouldn't go with you or anything like that. It would always...
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember it coming with me. I don't remember seeing it from the sky. So I'm not sure where they went.
Did you ever tell your family about these dreams?
I can't remember. I was kind of a private person, and I don't know if I would have told my family about any of my dreams, even when I was young, just because on one hand, I kind of felt, you know, keep these things close to you. But also I kind of felt, oh, they're kind of silly. Like, what is telling people about my dreams going to do? And I've always been the kind of person, I've always been very bored when other people tell me their dreams. I hate to say it, but I do. So I've always been like, oh, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear my dream. So
did you ever think of mentioning it to your sister?
I mentioned it to her after she told me about her experience with the flashing lights in the window, and she didn't have any experience like that.
Always best to check. The flashing lights, is it quite vivid in your memory still?
Oh, yeah, I think so. So I'd wake up and it would be a very brief, they're here, and then I'd go back to sleep. So like there wasn't much conscious awake time to interpret that, but I remember it quite well.
And the lights themselves, what kind of colors were they?
They were white, and I had white curtains. They were like this gauzy see-through material, and they would glow with this white light. And I don't think they were rhythmic lights. It would be like this erratic flashing, and it was very fast, so I don't think it was lightning, because that would have been like the craziest lightning storm of all time. I didn't hear any thunder or anything like that, so yeah.
Okay, and anyone knows that, you know, when you live in a rural community, you know, a rural area, the chances of getting headlights, you know, shining through your windows, unless you obviously you're on a country road maybe, but...
Right, yeah, the way my bedroom was parallel to the road, so if a car was going by, it wouldn't have flashed in that window. Now, the driveway did face that window, but my parents would not have gone out. How often does a car come rolling down your driveway at like 3 a.m., you know? So... I don't really think it was a car, because there weren't that many cars down that street to begin with.
And now you have an interest in the paranormal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And witches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wanted to be a witch so bad.
I've had a few witches on here, male and female, believe it or not.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm probably too lazy to practice any sort of organized witchcraft or anything like that. I just definitely believe in like the universe and being able to like commune with that.
Have you had any paranormal experiences?
I have. So my mother is very into ghosts and spirits, and she's constantly, you know, having these encounters and stuff like that. I have had less encounters than her, but I'm open to it. I'm not afraid of that. If should it happen, I kind of invite it in. I invite anything in, quite honestly, which I don't know if this is probably the safest. But so I had one experience where my boyfriend and I, my ex-boyfriend, we were just hanging out, and we were in my room, and I think we were watching a movie. We heard like one chime of a xylophone, like a children's xylophone, if you know what I'm talking about, just like bing. And we looked at each other and we checked our phones. This was quite a few years ago, like really before smartphones were taking off. So we like checked our flip phones and we like checked his laptop. Someone get a notification. And I stood up and I walked towards the door, because that's kind of where the sound was coming from. And I heard the sound of a child laughing and little feet running down the hallway. And that really scared me. And this was in my family home, which my father built in the late 80s. So it's not, there's this long history there, or there have been deaths there or something like that. But I've always had strange experiences in that home. And I just think it's the energy there. There's just this strange energy. When I was a child, I would wake up in the mornings. I would sleep in my parents' bed because I was a little baby, and I would not sleep in my own room. And I would hear footsteps coming down the same hallway, but coming towards the room. And I would always think that's my grandma. It was this very grandmotherly, I would just think that's my grandma. And she would never make it to the room. She would never enter the room, but she would walk, what I thought was her, would walk down the hallway again and again and again. And when I'd wake up, she was not there. She had never been there. They did live next door to us growing up, so she was one of the main figures in my life. But no, she was never in the house. I guess, so my little brother has a spirit box, and if you're not familiar with a spirit box, what that is, this thing that scans radio frequencies, like super fast radio stations, and you get little snippets of words, and you get little snippets of songs, and you try to hear something and all that static. And he had one of those, and he let my mom borrow it. And we were just sitting there just having a conversation while this thing was running, which is very hard to do because it's very annoying. It kept saying, Pete, 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 Pete. And we were like, what the hell is Pete? You know, who is that? Then like a week later, I met someone named Pete, and I ended up marrying him. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And when I met him, was like, ooh, Pete, I just had experience with that, with the spirit box. So that was in my mind, kind of. So it was like already faded almost. And then another time, and a lot of these involve my mother. So I just think she's very in tune with things. Well, I was watching her dogs at my current house, and we kept them downstairs because they were a little bit rambunctious. So we kind of like put them behind a baby gate and kept them in the lower level of our house while we slept, just because we didn't want them wandering through the house and doing weird stuff while we were sleeping. I slept with my own dogs in the bed. And I woke up because and these are pugs, so they're not like aggressive dogs. They're just little lap animals, basically. And one of my pugs was growling with her hair standing up on the back of her neck, and she was just really tense. And I heard the snarling come rumbling up the steps, and these hard footsteps just pounding up the steps, and this like horrible snarling. And it sounded demonic. Like, it was a horrible sound. And my husband woke up and we looked at each other and we were both, let's never talk about this again. I got up to check to make sure that the dogs were downstairs, and they were sleeping. Like, so I don't know what thundered up the stairs, but I've always blamed my mother for that one, because I just feel like wherever she goes, she brings these energies. I just felt like she had dropped off not only her dogs, but something else too.
Dropped off another guest. So that was...
Yeah.
So there was things happening in your family home, and then this happened in your present home.
Yes. And I don't know if things are following or if there's always something somewhere, you know what I mean? And you just have to be listening to hear it. My husband, he's very in tune too. I just feel like things follow certain people.
No, I agree. Yeah, it does happen. We do get latches on now and again. In your house, you had the little boy's laughter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a child's laugh. I don't know if it was a boy or not. It was just a high-pitched little kid's laugh. And we had no small children in our family at that time. My sister was home, and she was in the living room. And so the footsteps would have ran toward the living room. And I busted out of there, and I was like, hey, did you hear anything? And she just looked at me like I was crazy. She was sitting there watching TV or playing a video game. I can't remember. And she was just like, no, go away.
And that was the only time you heard the child.
Yeah.
You know, things like that do happen in houses where it would just be like a one-off. Like it's a traveling spirit, maybe.
Just stopping by, just passing through.
They do. You know, my last house, I lived next to a guy. And he actually later told me that he was a medium and that. They would tell me he'd come home from work one day. It was about 4 PM, and he came home and flaked out on the couch, as you do with the hard day's work. And he said he opened his eyes, and there was a woman stood in front of him wearing a long red dress, as real as anything, he would say. And he said, I've never seen her before, and I've never seen her since. It was just a one-off occurrence.
That's interesting. Yeah, I definitely think that kind of thing, I mean, does it need to be repeatable for it to be real? You know what I'm saying? I just think that, yeah, they might pass through. And you saying that reminded me of something else, actually. I used to have, and I'm assuming this is all just sleep paralysis and the strange visions that come with that, but they might not be anything paranormal, but I would quite often get sleep paralysis, and I'd wake up and I couldn't move, but I could see strange things. Most often it would be a spider lowering onto my face, but there were times there'd be someone laying in bed next to me, and I did not have anyone laying next to me physically, or there'd be someone standing in my corner and stuff like that. And I had one, this is the stupidest one, this is the most bizarre one, and it's not scary, it's just stupid. A door opened up on my wall, and a drone came out and dropped batteries on my face. You know, some of these experiences are horrifying, like the person in bed with me or like standing in the corner or the spider. But then some of them are just like, why would my brain do that? You know, so I'd wake up and I couldn't move, but I could see these things. And I was awake because I would end up screaming. I think I was awake. By the time I got with my husband, I feel like I was on the tail end of the sleep paralysis. Like, I haven't had this in probably 5 years. And I don't know if that's because, like, I'm on different medication now or if just the time has passed for that. I want to say I was awake because I could see the room clearly. And I was having, you know how in a dream where if something really scary happens, you usually wake up. This wouldn't stop. The scariness would just intensify and intensify, and you couldn't get out of it. I think that's what's differentiating it from a dream for me, because usually in my dreams, if something scary happens, like a fall or a shock or like a jump scare, even I wake up, and in these, the person in the corner was not going away, and my horror was just mounting and mounting and mounting. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to have some horrific nightmares. It's the weirdest thing I used to get. What you just said there about got scared and you've woken up. Well, I would get scared and not wake up.
Oh, that's horrible.
It would be a new dream, though. It would be scary. Something horrific would happen, go straight into the next dream, and then it'd start over again. It really scared me when I was a kid. So it doesn't happen now. Not now I'm an adult, but...
That's interesting. That would make me feel very, like, trapped. Like, you can't get out, and just another dream starts. And, like, what if that's just as scary as the first one? Like, that's very labyrinthine, almost.
Absolutely, yeah. Just some of them were very, very bizarre, that's to say at least. A couple of things, though. When you were saying about the spirit box, and you said the words were coming up was Pete, Pete, Pete,
mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder if
that was maybe like a premonition predicting the future. Or maybe because you were thinking about it, you created your own future.
Right. Yeah, I think about that too. I really believe in like synchronicity and stuff like that. Just I have a lot of just strange things. You'll be thinking of someone and then they call. Stuff like that.
And you get a lot of those in your life.
I do. Yeah. Synchronicity has always been really important to me. And for the longest time, I didn't have a name for it. So I would just call it like a convergence, this strange, just things were coming together in a way that they weren't usually. And now I call it synchronicity because I think that's the most accurate term for what I experience.
Actually, this week, I'm getting 11-11s. There'd be times where I'd just briefly look at top, and then it'd be, sure enough, 11-11. And I know I've done an episode about 11-11, mm-hmm. and to do with synchronicities and time and all that stuff, but that's what I'm getting this week, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, when things I get like that, I write them down.
Oh, absolutely. And I find that a lot of times, I look for meaning in things, and a lot of times I think the meaning itself is just, hey, you're noticing things, and that's the meaning. You know, there's no deeper like, oh, at 11:11 something's going to happen to you. It's just that it's the universe kind of like tipping its hat to you. You know what I mean? Hey, it's, you know, something you're noticing.
I agree. So, and I've always said, you know, you should definitely make a note when things like this happen, and there might be something for it. Like you just said, it's just the universe telling you, hey, you're noticing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I need to do a better job of writing things down. I would like dream journal. Like I said, I'm a lazy person, but I just think I'd benefit from that. And they say that that helps you remember your dreams better too. And I definitely need to get more organized mentally on all aspects of my life. And I just need to get organized. I definitely would like to start keeping track of these things.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. Stephanie, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, anytime.
Take care, and I will speak to you soon.
All right, have a great day.
And you enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Lincoln. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. You okay, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. And you're calling from Sheffield, South Yorkshire in the United Kingdom.
I am indeed. It's my new adoptive home for the last 30 years, Nick. So I'm a Lancashire lad at heart, but I've moved over to Yorkshire.
Wonderful. Now, Lincoln, you have an experience you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. So, yeah, I currently live in Sheffield, South Yorkshire with my family. I'm almost 50, I'm 50 next year. Got a good job, nice family, but I didn't always grow up here. I've been here about 30 years, came here for university. But I actually grew up in a really remote place called Chipping in Lancashire. And probably for American or Australian listeners, it's not really that remote. But if you were to look on a map of the UK, it is in the middle of nowhere, as we'd say in the UK. Chipping's in the middle of Lancashire, and it's in the middle of the electrical borough of the Ribble Valley. So to the north, there's nothing really for about 30 miles until you get to Lancaster. If you were to go west from the village, there's a couple of little villages probably 10 miles away, and eventually you'll hit Blackpool on the west coast. To the east, you've probably got Preston, probably a bit southeast, but again, that's 12, 15 miles away. And there's not a great deal to the south either. So if you look on the map, it's very much in the middle of nowhere. Now, Chipping was a funny place, especially growing up there, because as a kid, when you were little, it was brilliant. You literally went out all day in the morning and you came back for your tea and see your parents literally as the sun was going down. You used to just play out all there. Quite a strange place in that people still burn coal there. Coal is the main fuel. So if you were to go on a bit of a foggy day, the coal sort of emphasises the fog. And there's literally like a haze sat over the village. It literally seeps into the streets, but generally because everyone's still burning coal and coal fires. It's also that old this place called Chipping that it's in the Doomsday Book. Now, for those who don't know what the Doomsday Book is, it's just a census, I think, that happened in the 11th century. It happened in 1085 or something like that. And Chipping is actually mentioned in the Doomsday Book. So it's been around for over 1,000 years, this little village. And these days, it's more popular with fell walkers. So a fell is like the range of hills that surround the village. Again, they're more like moorlands, really. But you get a lot of fell walkers and a lot of cyclists. But as I sort of hit my teen years, my mates hit our teen years, there wasn't a great deal to do. So quite often our evenings, before we had to go to college the next day or go to work at the weekends in the local restaurants, was usually we'd wait till my mum had gone to bed and then we'd literally invade my mum's front room. And our evenings generally consisted of watching Channel 4, things like Videodrome. For those that don't know, that was a really good like film programme presented by a guy called Alex Cox, who'd present and critique some of the more edgy movies like Rumblefish or They Live by John Carpenter or The Thing or Escape from New York or whatever was on. And that was generally our night's entertainment, is in bed in my mum's front room watching Videodrome, Eurotrash, for those that remember it, and things like Prisoner of Selva Kerch, which seemed to be on every single night. So the Aussie programme about a lot of women prisoners, I'm quite an expert on, but there you go, by default. And this was probably in the early 90s when I was between 16 and 18. So we're talking 1990 to 1992. So this is a bit of further background. When we moved into this house in the late 80s, it was on a really quiet cul-de-sac on a council estate that they'd built in the village. So this isn't like an inner city council estate. It's quite a nice council estate. And we had a big four-bedroom house, me and my mum and my two sisters. And I distinctly remember about 85, 87, my dad planting a series of really big conifer trees around the perimeter of the house. So the house is slightly raised up from the cul-de-sac road. A big circle wall going around the house, covered pretty much the entire house, planted a lot of conifers. They were pretty big when he put them in, but by the time I was 16 to 18, these conifers were probably 20, 25 foot high. Had all knitted together like conifers do, and to stop them, you had to get the ladders out. So really thick wall of trees around the perimeter of the house, sort of hiding the house from the road, really, which is sort of important, really. I'll get to that in a bit. So the actual incident, Nick, is a strange one because my memory of it disappeared for years and years and years, and only over maybe the last 10 years has the memory resurfaced. Nothing particularly sinister or disturbing, but it was a really weird event that happened in my mum's house while I was sat with my best mate growing up, and we were just having one of these standard nights of watching Channel 4, very late night programme, so it was probably about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I've no memory of this thing actually starting, but I just suddenly became aware that the room was bathed in really bright light. And I can't remember if it was just a white light or whether it was almost like streaky yellow light. And you know how sort of diamonds catch the light and they've got those light sparkles on? I've got a vague memory of like yellow streaks of light with really bright sparks coming off them as if they were glinting in the sun, but obviously they weren't, it was just light. But the light was so bright in the room, and it was accompanied by a really heavy groaning noise, almost as if there was a huge machine outside the house that was idling away. Again, I'll come on to that a bit later, for how I got that description. But I was sat in the armchair, it was late at night, really heavy curtains drawn in the room. My friend was to my left, so he was facing the windows, and I was right under the window in the armchair facing the telly and the coal fire, and my eyes were fixed like a dagger on the curtains, basically. So it's almost like I became aware this thing was happening and my consciousness kicked in for a short time. And really weird, my eyes were fixed on the curtains, and there was obviously really bright light in the room and this droning noise. And the first thing that cropped up in my head was, what are the bin men doing here at this time at night? So for those who don't know, probably American listeners, there'd been many of your refuse collectors, your garbage collectors. Now, it definitely wasn't them, because you had a hard job of them coming out when they were meant to come out during the week, never mind at 2 o'clock in the morning, probably on a weeknight or on the weekend. So I knew in the back of my mind it wasn't them, but that's the first thing that crossed my mind. Is it the bin men outside? No, right, it's not the bin men. I wonder if it's the council. So the council in the UK, every now and again, come and do road works, things like that. And they quite often bring a big truck with them with big flashing lights on the top to stop people crashing into the truck. But I knew it wasn't them either, simply because if that had been happening at that time of night, the entire village would have been out wondering what the hell was going on. It's a really, really quiet place. So, sort of immediately ruled that out and thought, yeah, it's not the council either, and certainly not the bin men. Then I thought, maybe there's a helicopter hovering above the house. But again, it wasn't a helicopter, simply because if a helicopter had been there, again, the entire village would have been out investigating what was happening at that time in the morning. And rationally, why would a helicopter be hovering over my mum's house at that time in the morning, shining the brightest light you've ever seen through the living room window? They would have had a good job manoeuvring to do that, never mind actually doing it. So I can certainly say, Nick, what it wasn't. But I did have this really nagging feeling all the time, is why aren't I getting up and looking what's outside? And it wasn't due to fear. I just couldn't quite put my finger on why I wasn't investigating it. I had no comfort that my friend sat to my left at all at this stage. And he was facing the window, so God knows what he was thinking at this time either. So that was really the incident. And I've no recollection of it starting, and I've no recollection of it ending either, or of going to bed, or of the next day, really. But obviously life goes on, because I'm still here. And I seem to remember the next day at some point, we did talk about it in passing. And we said, God, that was a bit weird last night, wasn't it? Yeah, I wonder what that was. And almost like a click of the fingers, the memory went. I know him spoke about it for probably 25 years after that. So that happened when I was in my late teens, Nick. And we had a reunion in our 40s. So none of us live in the village anymore, but we all descended on the village in our mid to late 40s to basically have a good session down the local pubs on the Boddington's Bitter and reminisce about old times. And because I'd started to remember what had happened to us when we were a lot younger, I mentioned to him on this night out, and I said, do you remember the bright light in my mother's front room when we were growing up? And he said, yeah, of course I do. And I said, why didn't we investigate what it was? And all he said to me was, because we couldn't move a muscle. He said, we were just completely frozen. That's why we couldn't get up to see what was outside. And then the penny almost dropped then, Kate. Is that my eyes, when this thing was going on, were completely fixed on the curtains up to my right, and I had these vague thoughts going through my head for a short period of time, trying to process what was outside. And all the way through the event, I had the impression that the light was coming in through the heavy conifer tree at the bottom of the garden, and also through the heavy curtains that were in the room. If you looked out the window at any night and a car came in the road, you'd see a bit of diffused light through the conifers. They were that thick, they didn't let any light through whatsoever. Yet, what we went through, the room was completely bathed in light, and the penny dropped that the reason why my eyes were just fixed firmly on the curtains, and I was literally just sat there frozen, is because I couldn't move the muscle. And it took 25 years for my mate to confirm that, to say, yep, we just couldn't move the muscle. We were both completely paralysed. And he must have been looking at me, I presume, and also looking directly at the window where I sat underneath in the armchair. So, as I say, the memories come back over the last sort of 10 years or so. And it really started to bug me, actually, about what happened that night. Being honest, Nick, I don't particularly want to go any further about what it was. I'm more than happy to live in blissful ignorance. But, it also really bugged me about what the noise was, this really heavy droning noise. You could almost feel it in your body. If you go to a good concert, they've got a good bass bin,
know, it almost shakes your body when you when the bass kicks in. It was almost like that really deep, bassy, droning noise, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I've listened to a few podcasts. I'm a healthy skeptic, let's say. And one of the ones that did it for me was listening to Terry Lovelace, who was the American chap who had the incident of Devil's Den in the US, where he woke up in his tent after some very weird occurrences with his mate Toby, and there was really bright flashing lights outside, which he took to be a park ranger. But he said the bright lights outside were accompanied by a really heavy droning noise that sounded like a steam engine idling before it was almost put into drive or gear. And it just clicked in my head. God, it, that's exactly the description of what I was hearing on that night. So I ended up writing to Terry, wrote him a quick email, told him it was quite a benign experience, or I think it was quite a benign experience, nothing quite what he went through. And Terry wrote me a lovely email back, asking me various questions, which I couldn't really answer because I've got a very short memory of what happened that night. But that's it, Nick, really. It's just this memory that's resurfaced over about 10 years, and me being and a friend being paralysed in my mum's front room, bathed in white light, with a really heavy groaning noise going on. And another thing to probably mention before I close or go to your questions, Nick, is that nobody in the village mentioned it. And it's the kind of place that if, I don't know, there'd been a minor car bump or some graffiti found on a bin, Nick, the army would have been called in because it's that quiet. But nobody mentioned this weird incident that happened on that night. Nobody mentioned a helicopter hovering over the village or anything like that. So yeah, that's my story really, Nick.
Interesting stuff. Having lived in a small village in Warwickshire many years ago, I know if anything happens, it's the talk of the village. Everyone knows everything.
I'm sure it's like that all around the world, but in the UK we definitely think that, don't we? Is that you tend to know everybody else's business. This place is that remote, Nick, that after midnight, the village is deathly quiet. It's so quiet you can hear a car approaching from, I don't know, a mile away, just because the sound carries over the really quiet village. You've got the odd owl hoot and obviously the weather. But yeah, there's nothing. And really strange that nobody mentioned this incident the next day. And even more importantly, Nick, we didn't mention it to anybody else or ask any searching questions about what happened that night.
Very strange. And like you said, your father had planted all those conifers and, they can block out a lot of light. But Ben, yeah, I mean, that's just not the kind of time they end up driving around. What about something like a combine harvester?
A combine harvester potentially could have been the back of the house, Nick, which was at that time, the old built houses on it now. But again, the lights wouldn't have penetrated from the back of the house to the front of the house. It's quite a big house. All the doors were closed. So just by pure science, Nick, the light from the combine harvester out the back of the house couldn't have done that to the room at the front of the house, our living room, if you like, which we tend to refer to as the front room over here. And yeah, it's odd that the first thing that went through my mind is trying to work out what it was. And actually, my perception was that the light's coming through the curtains, Nick, where actually it was, looking back, it wasn't at all. The entire room was just bathed in light, so I can only assume that the entire house was bathed in light. And who knows, the entire village may have been bathed in light. But I'm surmising now, because I've never got up off the armchair to look. And actually, I couldn't work out at the time, why aren't I getting up to see what's outside? And it's only when my mate, years later, said to me, we couldn't move, we were literally paralysed, the penny dropped, Nick, on why I didn't get up to investigate. But I did, at the time, I did have a really nagging doubt. Why aren't I getting up to see what's outside? But it's a false perception, Nick. The light wasn't coming in through the curtains. The light was in the room, Nick. It's really hard to explain, but it was the room was bathed in the light. Quite strange, really.
It's very peculiar. And plus, there was two of you, and neither of you could move. Neither of you could get up.
Yeah, and actually, I'd love to speak to him further about it, but it's just, for some reason, it just doesn't crop up as a conversation point when we're together, other than during our reunion in our mid-40s, when I decided to ask him about it. And he just came straight out with it. Yes, of course I remember it. And actually, it'd be really good to talk to him about what his perception was, Nick, because he was facing me and facing the windows. And it'd be really interesting for his view of what I was doing at that time, if he can remember. I'll have to maybe pick his brains on that one.
You know, you wouldn't be on, you know, you wouldn't be here now if it was just headlights coming through a window. You know, so something definitely strange happened to you.
Yeah, it did. And I don't think there's anything sinister about it, Nick, but my memory of it is really sketchy. I can't remember it starting. I can't remember it ending. It's almost like my consciousness, or 10% of my consciousness, say, kicked in mid-incident to allow me to think, what the hell is that? And then I started to try and process it. But I've no memory of going to bed, Nick. I know one day blurs into another, but yeah, especially that night, that is the only thing I remember, that short segment of the bright light and the droning noise and me trying to process it. And it was almost like a click of the fingers, basically. The memory was sort of there, and then it went for years and years and years, and it slowly resurfaced in my mind, which has prompted me to do a touch of investigation into what it is, and also prompted me on the reunion to say to my mate, do you remember what happened to us that night? And he just came straight out with it. Yes, of course I remember. And he told me why we didn't move. And he put that nagging doubt to bed about, why didn't we get up and just see what was outside? And if it was something natural, Nick, or, you know, a helicopter or the council or the bin men, which, trust me, it couldn't have been, the light just couldn't have got into the room like it did. The entire village would have been out with pitchforks and flaming brands, Nick, demanding the head of pest and council for waking them up at that time. And none of that happened. Nobody mentioned it. Really strange.
And is this a case of you don't really want to know, but you do want to know?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I think it's just sort of trying to process it, really. I'm not concerned about it, and it's had no long-lasting effects on me, hopefully. I think those closest to me may disagree with that, Nick, but there you go. But yeah, I think it's just a really curious incident that I can't explain, and especially the paralysis as well. That was so weird. And I didn't actually know about the paralysis for 25 years, but my memory is just of my eyes being fixed on a set point, my thought process kicking in, if you like, and trying to process what was happening. So yeah, I've done a bit of research, and other people have experienced similar things, Nick. But I can only assume it was something designed to keep us very passive, and that's really as far as I want to go with it, really. I ain't bothered, Nick, about what the peripheral stuff was, or why I can't remember going to bed or anything like that. It doesn't really bother me, but it'd be great to know what was outside the house that day, or what, probably more accurate, I sort of got a feeling with the sort of the sound and the way the light was, what was above the house more, Nick. It was almost, I almost got a perception of something above the house that was very big and very powerful. And that's my lasting perception, if you like, of the memory.
And can you describe the sound again?
Yeah, it was almost like, if you went to a train station and you were taking a trip on an old steam railway, forget about the actual sound of the steam and steam escaping from a railway, but the actual power that's in the big iron engine on the front of the carriage's neck, you know, the deep power you can perceive from that machine, it was almost like that, really. It just had the impression of something really big and really powerful and something in almost neutral gear. So it was almost like a constant droning noise, but it was that deep and that powerful that you could almost feel it in your frame and in your muscle. Or whether it was almost like streaks of light in the room with these diamond, you know, light points coming off it. But either way, it was ridiculously bright.
so ridiculously bright that I just couldn't, at the time, I just couldn't quite get my head around it. Still don't know what it is, Nick, and we'd be just guessing to surmise, really. But I know that other people have experienced something very similar. It was interesting looking back at my thought processes as well. It was almost like there was about 10% of me that was functioning at the time, but it was just enough for me to think, what on earth is that? And then I started to try and rationalise what it was. But I've no memory of it ending, as I say, or going to bed. But yeah, I'm still here, Nick, so it can't have been too bad.
Indeed, it couldn't have been too bad. Well, you know, we'll put a call out for any listeners. If you vaguely remember anything happening to you, or maybe you heard of something, get in contact. And hopefully, you know, someone else experienced this as well.
You know, that would be fab. It's Chipping Lanks, Nick, Lancashire. And it'd be really interesting if someone else in the village thought, good grief, I remember that as well. I think we had the advantage or disadvantage, Nick, of always being up really late as teenagers, in bed in my mum's front room and watching that stuff on Channel 4 till the early hours in the morning. So we were aware. And this incident probably happened about 1 or 2 in the morning, really sort of late. But yeah, I've never heard anyone else mention it in passing. So yeah, it'd be really good to know if someone else experienced the same.
I mean, of course, during those days, you know, in the 90s, that is exactly what teenagers were doing. They were in the living room watching Cell Block H and Eurotrash, especially.
Yeah, till the daft hours in the morning, and probably doing things you shouldn't have been doing as well, Nick, and drinking the odd beer. And then, because you were young, you used to be able to get up, school uniform on, jump straight to college the next day without a care in the world. So, yeah, and there wasn't a great deal to do in the village at that time. So yeah, it was a pretty regular occurrence, 3 or 4 times a week. And just so happened it was me and my best friend growing up who were in the room at this particular time when the incident happened. But at any given time, there could have been 4 of us in the room. But yeah, it was just me and my best mate growing up that happened to.
You know, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. What do you think happened?
Nick, it'd just be a pure guess. I can only assume that something really big was above the house because of the way it felt. That's the perception. And I can only assume it was something designed to knock out the people of the village, really, for whatever reason. But it just so happens that certainly my mate, because he remembers it, he was obviously conscious for a portion of it. And I was obviously conscious for a portion of it. I sticked on the curtains, not moving, wondering what on earth is outside. So yeah, that's the only thing I can think. It was something designed to knock us out, Nick. And whether the consciousness bit happened right at the start of the incident or mid-incident or towards the end, I haven't the foggiest idea because I didn't have any perception of time at the time. It could have lasted for, or me being aware could have lasted for 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I haven't the faintest idea, Nick.
Have you thought about maybe checking any records to see if there was any sightings in the area that night?
No, but I will do, actually. Yeah, good shout that, Nick. I'll do a bit of digging on that one, see if anyone saw anything on that night.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about the village itself, but maybe in the surrounding areas, because I don't think it was too far from the moors. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, really on the moors, which actually in Lancashire we call the fells, Nick. So There's a really big hill at the back of the village called Parlick. And actually, we're not too far from Pendle Hill, where they did the witch trials back in the day, and a lot of innocent, well, potentially innocent people got hung for being witches. So if I was to look out of my bedroom window, Parlick could be over to the left, probably 4 miles away, but a really big hill. And you've then got a really long ridged hill, Nick, called Jeffrey Hill, which is near the town of Longbridge, which was named by the Romans because it was a long bridge. And beyond Jeffrey Hill, see Pendle Hill, which is a really distinctive hill that's got like a really odd-shaped drop-off at the end. It's really distinctive, Pendle Hill. So Chipping sat very much in a valley, with the hills probably 5 miles away. But when you're on top of one of the hills, you can literally just see Chipping bang in the middle of the valley with nothing else there, surrounded by hills that are probably 5 miles away from the village as the crow flies.
Of course, Pendle Hill, the old, you know, witch. I remember watching that on there. I think it was Most Haunted that went up to Pendle Hill.
Yeah, I've been for a few walks up there. It's,
it's not really my neck of the woods. I tended to be around the fells that were near us. And every now and again, I'd climb Parlick. Literally took me 2 hours to get up there. It's a big hill. And from the top of the hill, you can see Blackpool. You can see right across Manchester, which is probably 40 miles away. So you can see the Irish Sea as well over by Blackpool. Yeah, it's a lovely part of the world, actually, Nick. So if any listeners want a lovely weekend away with a partner or the kids, have a think about chipping in Lancashire.
Beautiful part of the country. I did spend about 6 months living up in Bolton.
Yeah, Greater Manchester. And it's sort of the old Lancashire, really, isn't it? It's still within sort of the classed as Lancashire, even though I call it Greater Manchester. So yeah, chipping's probably, and by all means, please have a look at it on the map, Nick. It's once you zoom in, you realise how remote it is. And the nearest little town's probably 5 miles where I went to school. But if you go north, there's nothing really until you get to Lancaster. If you go west, there's a small town called Garstang, and then you get to Blackpool. But it really is in the sticks, as we say over here, isn't it?
Yeah, I would probably, yeah, see if you can see any possible reports in, you know, that kind of time frame. To be honest, as far out as Preston, and then probably back up to the Dales. Because, you've got quite a big area there, and it is remote. And just, you know, something might turn up, something might not, but, you know, it's always worth a try.
Yeah, definitely worth looking into it. Will do.
Lincoln, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, no problem at
all. That's great. All right, you enjoy the rest of your day, and I will speak soon to you.
Nick, absolute pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Stephanie and Lincoln for sharing tonight, and as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.